Let me introduce Sammy, who will talk about Willow, a family of peer-to-peer storage protocols. Let's welcome her with a round of applause.
Once upon a time, when Unix timestamps were still small, the ancients worked together to build a system which would let them share their knowledge from afar. The system connected places of learning, and all were hopeful that it would usher in a new golden age of art and science. But the wicked hearts of men were drawn to the power of this system. And slowly, piece by piece, they twisted the system to serve their bottomless greed. Until it was theirs. So listen well, system builder. The systems you build today will be the weapons used against you tomorrow. And now the title screen. Da 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 da. I'm not really sure why I wanted to include a title screen here, but after this, the video game illusions end. I should have taken that out. I'm Sammy Gwilym, a programmer, illustrator, and mum. I've been working on some peer-to-peer protocols called Willow, together with Alyosha Meyer, who sadly could not be here today. The story you just heard is one we're waking up to. Centralized systems were designed with the best of intentions, but were weaponized anyway, and peer-to-peer systems will be exactly the same. If the next generation of networks succeed, there will be well-resourced people trying to turn them against us. But how do they do this? I'm going to put the weaponization of networks into two broad categories, the weaponization of data and the weaponization of infrastructure. Data, particularly data connected to individuals, is valuable and has a market. Buyers who use that data to advertise to you, who use that information to watch you, to condemn you, and eventually to find you. That might sound alarmist, but that is exactly what is happening in the United States as ICE partners with commercial data brokers. It was unthinkable not that long ago, and it is happening today. The infrastructure of the networks themselves is also weaponized. If you force others to traverse a network for basic functionality, you can listen to communications as a man in the middle. By co-locating storage and functionality on certain points of networking, you can force new terms and features onto users who have no other choice. You can even make it so that people need to buy new hardware to participate on the network. Our reliance on massive data centers has even been weaponized to create a speculative AI bubble. How do you make the next generation of protocols more difficult to weaponize? This is the lens through which I'd like to introduce Willow today. Willow is a family of peer-to-peer protocols which deal with accessing and modifying shared data, access control, and data exchange. These take the forms of protocols and low-level libraries. We want to provide plumbing, not products. I'm going to be talking about the why of Willow mostly, rather than the what or how. That's because if you'd like to learn about the features of Willow or how it does what it does, we've got a website which can tell you that with specifications, diagrams, comics, and lots more besides. There are QR codes, as you've seen along the bottom of the slides, linking to different concepts where you can learn more. So, data has value. Are there ways that we can make it more difficult to gather? Mutability is the ability to change a mapping of one value to another. Willow is a system of mapping data to names. The deliberate act of naming makes it possible for us to assign new values to names and to forget the old values entirely. People make mistakes and change their minds. We want a system which gives users agency over their digital past. Mutability also makes external moderation possible. Forgetting data makes it harder to hoard and sell and analyze. And that's important because data has value. If the vast majority of peers coordinate deletion, it decreases the window in which a malicious data order can intercept data before it disappears. Even metadata has value. People have been drone bombed for being associated with metadata, so it's just not enough to be able to reassign values to names. Sometimes we want to forget the fact that any data was assigned to those names to begin with. Willow's naming structure allows peers to forget this kind of metadata and data wholesale. This is a mitigation, of course. We can't force malicious peers to forget, the same way I can't force you to forget this presentation after seeing it. But malicious peers have a much harder time when they're operating in a network of peers working together. That improvement of the odds alone is worth it. There are systems which present the most recent version as the true value, but still hold on to the data and metadata in the background, usually as a requirement of some data structure they're using. This is ersatz mutability and does not sufficiently protect people. Not only does it not protect people, but it has another cost. Those old values need to be stored somewhere, and quite often they need to be processed too. When you have authentic deletion, you don't have these costs, and you make it cheaper to participate in the system. Cheapness is an interesting quality. When the requirements for running your own network are lower, it's harder for others to make you feel like there's no alternative. How can we further pursue cheapness? Let's talk about CRDTs. There are very fancy CRDTs out there which are able to intelligently merge fine-grained edits into a single coherent edit. These kinds of fine-grained CRDTs are critical for applications where many people are editing the same thing at the same time, like a word processor or task list. But these fancy CRDTs also come with a cost, storage, and computation. Participation requires carrying around a history of changes, perfect for data hoarders, and a duty to process them into a final state. This puts a hard ceiling on how large and long-lived these spaces can be. Not cheap. Do we always need the ability to reconcile fine-grained edits? Arguably, no. Most of the day, we're using applications where people author data alone and then share it with others. Private messaging, chat rooms, web pages, microblogs, media libraries, archives, forums, issue trackers. You could use a fancy CRDT for these, but you would be adding significant cost without benefit. So what if, in the name of cheapness, we said we're not going to support collaborative word processors, but the majority of applications instead? Willow uses an extremely simple CRDT. Last write wins between different devices owned by the same user. It's dirt cheap. Cheapness is interesting, not because it lets you run a community of millions on a single server, but because it lets you run a community of a dozen on a potato. This is critical in a world where we need to get more out of the hardware that we already have. I just mentioned different devices owned by the same user. This implies there's some notion of identity in Willow. Earlier, I mentioned how data is weaponized and used to advertise to watch and locate individuals. This is done by associating different data points with one another through an abstract identity or digital double, uniting them all, which can then often be tied to a real person. There's also a growing mania for associating individuals with a single digital identity. When digital identities become synonymous with the flesh and blood beings they're said to exclusively represent, we create the conditions for grievous fraud. How can we introduce identity to Willow in such a way that we can minimize these dangers and at the same time enjoy intuitive access control? Users of Willow can issue their own identities, which are randomized IDs. They can choose to keep that identity themselves or share it with others. They can ascribe as much or as little identifying data, like a name or picture, to that ID as they want. They can reuse a single identity across many communities or issue themselves as many as they wish for whatever scenario they see fit. It's a start, but malicious actors can still deobfuscate the relation between different identities. We see this on the web, where technologies like cookies are used to connect to single-use different identities from across many different domains and communities. Your identity as a reader of anarchist theory may be connected to your identity at your work, for instance. This is possible because the web's different domains are able to bleed into one another and share information. But what if we formalized a hard, uncrossable threshold between domains? Willow has namespaces, which act as completely independent universes of data. A namespace for yourself, a namespace for your friend circle, a namespace for a social network. What belongs in one namespace cannot cross over into another, and nobody can learn what is within a given namespace without being given explicit consent to access it first. But the barrier of explicit consent is still not enough. It is still possible to use a single identity across many namespaces, linking them. A malicious actor can learn a lot by simply knowing which namespaces you belong to. To mitigate this, it must be impossible for someone to learn about the namespaces someone else is interested in unless they already know about it themselves. Willow uses a system called private interest overlap to confidentially determine what data any two peers are both interested in without revealing any interests which their partner does not know about themselves. This works at quite a granular level, so you can not only hide namespace from other peers, but also parts of a namespace they don't have access to and presumably have no knowledge of. This makes it very hard for malicious peers to gather data and infer connections between data and identities. With independent namespaces, private interest overlap, and mutability, communities can have private digital spaces with real moderation. This is especially relevant to vulnerable communities who need to be able to communicate with each other without being harassed and spied upon. But by retreating to our own enclaves, are we losing something? There is something special about finding a new website or profile you've never seen before, and perhaps making new friendships through that. Inversely, there's also something special to being able to publish something you made and have it reach far further than you'd ever imagine it could. Can we do something like that while mitigating its accompanying risks? The risks being harassment, drive-by exposure to things you don't want to see, and being forced to participate in the same space with entities you want nothing to do with? Quite often, you can only do something after the fact. In social networks, you can block. On the Fediverse, you can go a little further and defederate. Both of these are opt-out approaches. But what if we invert that and make a public network that you opt into, where every person you read data from is someone you've chosen to listen to and who has allowed you to listen? So in addition to the private invite-only namespace, Willow's access control system, MeadowCap, has communal namespaces where anyone can claim their own little slice of the space, which they can write whatever they want to, with the catch being that nobody has to listen. Other users must choose whether they're interested in your data first and must be given express permission to read it. Both styles of namespace have explicit consent at their heart. You can never read or write any data without someone having given you express permission first. Perhaps that permission is someone saying, "I allow absolutely everyone to see this," but at least it's always explicit. What I've been skirting around is, who stores Willow data and how is it exchanged? This being a peer-to-peer system, the data is stored on users' own devices. Devices only store what they've expressed an interest in, and they can express a lot of granularity in that request. Not just what, e.g. only blog posts, but also when, like only data from the last week, or how much, like only the most recent 100 megabytes. Creating a correspondence between the community which uses the network and the infrastructure which hosts it is a wonderful way to keep outside interests from screwing things up. But how does data move from peer to peer? Many protocols assume a bidirectional connection can always be established, but establishing such a connection is a privilege. Maybe you don't have access to such infrastructure, or maybe you can't trust that infrastructure. Every connection leaves a trace, and perhaps that's something you can't afford. Infrastructure is a process, not an end state. Connectivity is lost and found. Servers go down for maintenance or permanently. Volunteers move on. Channels are compromised. There must be different means of moving data to suit the given moment. And that's why we've decoupled our data model entirely from how the data is exchanged. And this allows us to design different sync protocols for different situations. For the good times, when you can establish bidirectional connections, we have sync protocols which are able to confidentially determine common interests with private interest overlap, resist man-in-the-middle attacks, intelligently determine the least amount of information to exchange via range-based set reconciliation, and even communicate memory constraints with each other so that constrained devices like microcontrollers can participate. These protocols don't specify the transport used, so it could be WebSockets, Bluetooth, or anything else capable of establishing bidirectional communication. In particular, these protocols are able to let you securely communicate with peers you don't necessarily trust, which is vital when you need to take every opportunity you can get. For everything else, there's the drop format. This protocol serializes Willow data to a single blob, which can then be sent over the infrastructure you trust or already have, Signal, email, or maybe personally transported by USB key. We want to contribute new convivial protocols able to meet the many crises that we're meeting today. Users should be able to see the risks they're taking on with open eyes and have the tools to remedy them. One of the crises we walked into was caused by believing that the internet was a new world, separate from ours. But networks are not ephemeral virtual worlds, but grossly physical, a sprawl of cables and humming machinery forced to creep over the surface of the earth. These networks have real physical demands and constraints, and the protocols of tomorrow will need to justify every last byte of storage and memory. The systems we build today will be the weapons used against us tomorrow. Reality is messy, and when we ignore that, we betray the users who depend on the systems we design. So, let's make our systems as hard to wield against us as possible, and perhaps then, we can truly make them ours. Thank you.
Thank you, Sammy. So great.
Thank you.
I said you got so many applauses. questions?
Just apologies for the ignorance, because I don't know much about Willow, but I was wondering if you could say, perhaps, if you're able to, who maybe your biggest consumer is, or maybe who's somebody who maybe using it quite frequently.
We are deep in the kit. I've got a mic. It's okay. We're deep in design and theory and implementation. So you know, we're mostly just still procuring funding and building things.
Some more questions?
Hey.
Just trying to understand your aim. So you're trying to provide a foundation like the web has, so including the protocol and like how should different node access and how do we store data?
Yes, it's quite low. It's just kind of like protocols for how do you access and modify that data, how do you, you know, control the access to it, and also providing different means to exchange it with other people. But you could use existing protocol, transports, protocols, the web.
I see. But I mean, like internet could be your like underlying protocol used for syncing, but like could anything
sure.
be on top?
Sure. Yeah. No, it's definitely supposed to be like a companion to things like the web.
To the web.
Yeah.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more? Yes?
Yeah, this looks really great. Thanks a lot. Do you already have applications for your protocol, or are you still trying to figure out how all these different pieces fit together?
We have Rust implementations for the data model and also for our capability system, MeadowCap. And we hope to have persistent storage and the drop format implemented in the next month or so.
Okay. But no, on the application layer currently you don't have anything?
No.
Okay.
Thank you for the fantastic presentation. That was really inspiring.
Thank you.
And I'm just wondering, first of all, who did the drawings? Oh, great. Fantastic. I figured as much. And just one question. So I believe I understand that you start from one theoretical starting point, which is the sentence you stated, that these will be the weapons of tomorrow that will be used against that.
Mm.
And how far are you in solving this problem, you would say, from a theoretical standpoint?
We've been working on these protocols for, I would say, like 4 years or so, close and working closely with sort of the prominent thinkers within that field as well. So I feel like our designs are pretty solid at this point for the data model, like the specifications are final. I think this is what we're going to shoot our shot with, really. Thank you very much.
Do you have more questions? Please tell us. We have a question from the internet.
A question from the internet? Okay.
Tristy Mooley asks, any thoughts about backups?
Backups? Yes, you could use it. Because this is kind of like, because we don't use CRDTs for data, basically, everything's just kind of like byte strings. This system is ideal for storing like very large blobs of data. So Yeah, backups. Great, let's do them.
Yeah, not in the field of the camera.
Ah, sorry.
I wanted to ask about how to implement Willow protocol, but yeah. That question kind of was answered asked already. But I was wondering, so it seems like it's a different kind of network. So the devices that implement Willow protocol and everything else would be different in the net. I mean, they're all connected in the internet, but it could be that some places, some remotes don't implement Willow and some will implement Willow, and the question is how you distinguish between each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of one of the core design principles that we have is sort of meeting people where they're already at with sort of the hardware that they have or the infrastructure that they already trust. And so, yes, if they need to be on the web or they need to really not be on the web, you know, we want this to be something that they can use and mix or not, really. So, yeah, these things can sit side by side or they can be separate. Or,
okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
More questions in the room? Okay. Now that I have your attention, so first, we're going to thank you again.
Thank you. I'm